Hey everybody, Shane here. Hey, look, you've heard me talking about my friends at Joseph Meyer Club, and I want you to go over, check them out at josephmeyerclub.com today and try out their brand new aftershave. And if you use my promo code RPPJMC20, you can try it today with 20% off. So just enter that code at checkout. Again, RPPJMC20. At checkout at josephmeyerclub.com. And yeah, it's a great product. I've been using it myself and I love it and it smells great. And so check it out and for all your aftershave needs. Again, josephmeyerclub.com. Follow them on Facebook as well for more information. And yeah, tell them Shane sent you. Thanks, everybody. Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. Let me tell you about my friends over at Naked Vine, located at 1624 Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, Missouri, serving up all your favorite wine, whiskey, tequila, and local craft beers. Stop by and visit them this week for some great live music. Thursday, February 21st, one of my buddies, Bobby Stevens, and Friday, February 22nd, the Scandaleros. Saturday, February 23rd, Bottoms Up Blues Gang. You can find all this information and more at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I returned to Naked Vine on March 12th for my singer-songwriter storytelling showcase, bringing along my good friends Brad Noe, Jenny Rokas, and Andrew Ryan. So don't miss that one. Gonna be a great night. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the show.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, my name is Adam Gaffney.
Hey, I'm Kendall Scott.
You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today with Adam Gaffney and Kendall Scott. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
This is cool, man. I'm glad to be here, glad to be hanging out, talking about Adam Gaffney and the Highway Saints, and some new music coming, and all this fun stuff we got happening for you guys, so... I guess we did do one of these before. Mm-hmm. We were kind of just talking about off mic, but which was a good time. It was a fun hang, but it was a little different, you know, being that we was kind of everybody was there and it was a big hangout and mm-hmm. Dos Bebo. But I kind of wanted to get into a little bit more about you and stuff, since I don't know a whole lot about. You guys, and it's actually our first time meeting Kendall, so
not a lot of people do know a lot about us.
Yeah, we're mysterious like that.
Yeah, but I guess we did kind of get into that one about Adam growing up in Litchfield mm-hmm. area and stuff. So is that that was always home before St. Louis?
Yeah, it was where I grew up and lived, and until I was about 18, and then I went in the Navy for 4 years and moved back, and then I moved here about 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
So.
And that was strictly for music, or was it
kind of
work and stuff too, or?
Yeah, I was playing in like cover bands and stuff back in Illinois, and I started like putting in more originals, trying to do that, and I did like, you know, the bar stuff, like, you know, playing standards all the time, and I just got tired of it. And I actually worked at State Farm for about a year here in St. Louis. When I got that job, I decided to move here. I thought it would be a good idea. I never thought music would be, like, taking, you know, kind of the reins of my life like it did. I kind of wanted that. I didn't think it would actually happen but when I moved here, that's kind of how it turned out to be.
Yeah.
So I just kind of let it do its thing.
Yeah, man. Very cool. So I guess growing up there, I mean, were you writing a lot of originals then, or when does writing kind of come into that?
I did two deployments when I was in the Navy, and I'd keep a journal every night. And sometimes I would write down, like, I don't know, just different things that were on my mind, maybe poems or something like that in these journals. And when I would go back and get off deployment, I had like this kind of shitty guitar that I would clunk around on, and I wrote like a couple songs. I don't even use them now, but I started getting into it. And when I got home, once I started playing more, I realized that I was like getting kind of tired of playing covers. Kind of wanted to give my own music a shot. And so now that's pretty much the majority of what I play.
Yeah. That was one. I know I was listening to a bunch of your stuff on the Spotify and was it Letters from Home?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And that's kind of like, I don't know if you really like fully out say it in that song, but that's kind of what I imagine, like, is kind of that kid that's away, and like, you mm-hmm. know, just like that story you're saying there is like,
yeah,
I imagine that one, a lot of that was kind of written that.
It was. I wrote that right when I got out of the Navy, because when I got out of the Navy, I walked off deployment and went back into society, and I didn't like have anybody really, because I was in Washington. You know, they flew me back. I was in the Arabian Gulf, and they flew me back, and I went back there, and then like come home, and it was like a weird transition period where I didn't know what I was supposed to do, who I was supposed to be. I mean, I didn't even know where to pay my water bill, and. So like going into society was like the end of that song. I can't even remember now. But the end of that song is, it says, when I come home, you know, it says I'll be a different me, and things like that. And that's exactly what happened. And I wrote that basically about that awkward transition.
Right.
And there are exchanges of letters from me and my dad from those deployments.
Yeah.
So each verse is a different, is him and then me and him and then me. So.
That's some heavy stuff, though, man. It's like, it's tough, especially being 18 and, mm-hmm. you know, being...
Yeah, it was different.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's just like that was a great, you know, look into some of your songwriting on that song in particular. And then, like, there's a bunch of them on there also. You know, we got four of them now on there.
There's four, yeah, solo there. Ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can check that out on Spotify and iTunes and things, but... So this is all still fairly new then, I guess, right? Like, I mean, this is...
Is it my music?
As far as original writing and stuff. And,
yeah, I would say it kind of... it took a leap this last year.
Yeah.
The year before was kind of getting my feet wet and figuring out how to do it, really. And I'm always figuring out how to do it, but last year was kind of like, okay, I'm playing better places. People are coming to see me more. And it was just kind of... The pages were turning.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely, man.
And so it was cool.
When do you meet this guy?
Kendall and I, it was four years ago.
2015. I was going to school at Greenville University in Greenville, Illinois, and Adam was tending bar at a bar called Broad Street Grill.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I went in there for an open mic one night, just trying to get out of the college thing. And we met, and we wound up just becoming buddies. And then we kind of drifted apart for a few years, and then... Somehow in the process, we got back together playing music.
You moved back from New York or something like
that? That's right. Yeah, I was out in New York
for
6 months. And then I came back and I was kind of looking for something to do. And Adam was like, hey, man, my guitar player's kind of on his way out. Would you be interested in the gig? And yeah, glad to be doing it.
Yeah, very nice. So that's, when did you you join Highway Saints?
Let's see, probably 2017.
Yeah.
Probably the end of it, yeah.
Yeah, right around the end of 2017.
He was like an alternate for a while. Right. And then, yeah, when the other guitar player left, he jumped right in.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, this was the first time really you guys being in a band together then and really jamming.
Yeah, like for real. Yeah.
Remember that time we played a really terrible version of that Doobie Brothers tune?
Yeah. Yeah. We tried to play, listen to the music.
And it did not.
And we got about a verse in.
We were just like, nope, never mind.
Fuck this.
That should have been the end of our playing music together.
Yeah.
Here we are.
It all goes back to the Doobie Brothers. That's it. Yeah, I mean, well, that's a great tune, though. I would be interesting to hear that.
Can't go wrong with the Doobs, man.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to hear that version, though, now, like, just to see how...
I'll pass.
Yeah, I'd rather not hear it.
I enjoy it. I mean, like, kind of, I mean, I know you guys probably aren't proud of it or whatever, but it's just, like, interesting for also to hear, like, the progress, you know? So mm-hmm. just to...
like, I hate listening back to some of these old shows just because, like, they are pretty rough. Like, the audio and my you know, hosting abilities and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's kind of cool that they're still there. And then I can go back and be like, and see the growth that I've actually,
right,
you know, getting a little bit better at this after doing it a couple times.
It's always cool to see that progress. Right. I love that.
So that's what's cool about recording all this stuff and just to see where you were and where you're going and stuff. But
where you don't want to go.
Yeah, right, yep.
It was back in the days we both had short hair.
Yeah.
You're the only friend I've got that I play music with that's ever seen me with short hair. So
I think I'm the only friend you've got, period.
That's about right. Yeah. I'm pissed off all the rest of them.
I grew my hair out in like the seventh grade. Something like that. Around that time, I think everybody kind of, at that point, was growing their hair out, like the undercut kind of thing that was the skateboard and all that. And
how old are you now?
I'm 33.
You're 33. Okay. Yeah.
So this is like 97-ish. Mm-hmm. And so all of us, like a bunch of, you know, the guys started growing their hair out. And I grew mine down to like about my shoulders, and then I started playing a lot of basketball. Went out for the 8th grade team, and you know, was playing a ton then. After that, like, I was like, "It's got to go." I was like, trying to wear sweatbands or whatever. I was like, "No, this ain't gonna happen." So
it does. It does. It gets annoying sometimes right. when it's hot. Yeah.
Yeah. But I haven't really after that I've been keeping it pretty short. But there's a lot of it's quite the feat though to try to. Try to keep it growing it out.
Yeah, it is.
So, yeah, I think I got my last real haircut and probably right around the time that you and I met, 2015.
Yeah.
I've been growing this shit ever since.
Right. And then you got the beard too, man. You got
that's
some patience.
We're right now, we're the denim cavalry. We're right again.
Yeah. The denim
can't wait
cavalry.
For this video to come out.
Yeah. Right.
Levi is going to be asking us.
Yeah, shout out to Levi. If I get a Levi's endorsement, that'd be real great.
Yeah. It was a Canadian tuxedo.
Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah, I often mention a lot of places on here, hoping that they give me some of that money.
Yeah.
So I'll, you know, what's that, like Wayne's World, you know, when they're like, well, we're not about any corporate sponsors and all that.
I was like, new brand, yeah. Little, yellow, different.
Well, we did do we shot a little video. We did a little jamming. We a new single that you guys have out there called Nomad.
Yeah, we just laid the first tracks down on it last night.
We have your Adam Solo doing a version of it on Spotify and everything, kind of the demo version of it you can hear. And but yeah, you guys are in studio working on cutting some of these. So. Well, let's talk about Nomad. This is this is the first gearing up to be the first single.
This is it, yeah. I'm excited, man.
Yeah. Is there anything? I think on the Spotify you introduced it saying it's about being a shithead or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, kind of. Yeah, that's like I said, that transition out of the military. Once I kind of moved here and got rooted, I realized like, well, why am I trying to? To please everyone else, you know, why should I do that when I'm happy doing what I want to do? And Nomad's kind of that, like living this life that a lot of people don't perceive as, you know, being comfortable or whatever, or logistical, or logical, not logistical. But, you know, and that's kind of where the song begins. A lot of it is, I had a DUI a couple years ago and it really turned my life around. The drinking and driving part, not the drinking part. So,
shout out to Uber.
Yeah, thanks Uber. Would appreciate any passes or gift cards you could send my way. So yeah, there was a lot of that, and it still kind of bears down on me sometimes, just that like past and, you know, playing empty rooms, and it's kind of like, you know, living on the run kind of deal, and the fact that we still do it even though like all these trial and error kind of things happen. So that's kind of the general purpose of that song.
Yeah, man.
Pack up my guitar in my suitcase and take another stage today. see me play. All my friends, they say I'm funny.
You said something. I was thinking of playing some of these rooms. You said something about playing, opening for Elvis and.
Oh, yeah. That was a fun show.
I want to hear about this
story. Do you
want
to feel this one or you want me to?
I'll start it and finish it.
All right, sounds good.
So I booked this short little, like, three-day run. We're going to Kansas City, and my car went down. And so I said, Kendall, let's go. Like, if, you know, we'll make it work. And so he's driving, and we're going to Kansas City. We play, like, this show over there. It was whatever. It was okay. And and we come back, and we had this show in Mexico, Missouri, which is right outside Columbia. And I didn't book this myself. There was a guy that booked it for me. And so there's a lot of, like, cooks in the kitchen, which I don't like to mess with too often. And we walk in, and there's, like, this, I don't know, 15-year-old girl.
And that's what I meant. She might have been 17.
Maybe. And she was, like, at this merch table. It was all this merch. I'm like, oh, man, what's going on, you know? And she's like, there's a cover tonight. And we're like, for us? Like, we're the band. Like, which one? And I'm like, no, like, the band. Like, not like the band, but we're the band that's supposed to play here tonight. She goes, I'm confused or whatever, and goes to get this promoter. And it was pretty much just this big gaggle fuck. And anyway, like...
Gaggle fuck.
And we get up there, and they wanted us to sit in and play a set. They already gave us our guarantee. So we got double booked. I guess this show, this punk rock show, got canceled in, like, Jefferson City or something. And, you know, this place was like, yeah, bring them in. Sure, we got plenty of room.
Pick them up.
Yeah. And so, of course, we get double booked. We didn't really care. I just want to make sure we got our money. So we got paid first. Big mistake. So at this point,
it all on a bar tab.
Yeah, pretty much. And we just got shithoused because they're like, what do you mean we only got to play 45 minutes? We don't have to play 3 hours? Sure. We can do that. And that's when kind of it all went downhill from there.
Yeah, the Elvis impersonator started out the show. And then we were trying to go second because it was a hardcore band and a punk band.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, you know, we don't really fit between those.
We're
like,
a duo.
Let's go second to get this out of the way. And this hardcore band is all pissed off because they had to drive all the way from Jeff City for this show that they probably didn't get paid for. And so they're like, no, we're going second. And so we watched this hardcore band just jam out and do their thing for a while. And by the time we got on stage, I think we both almost fell down at one point.
Yep.
We were staying in an apartment upstairs from the bar. They were putting us up for the night. And then, so we just proceeded to get hammered. And then the other band on the bill was the Radio Buzzkills out of St. Louis. And we didn't know those guys at all, but we got to talking to them. Like, oh, you're from St. Louis? We're from St. Louis. So we kind of got to be friends over that and, like, the whole shit show ordeal of the double book gig. So we got to be buddies with those guys. And then, so we get done playing our set. And they didn't have any gear. They were backlining all their gear on that run.
Dude, whole band, no instruments.
Yeah, they had no instruments.
It was the most bizarre thing.
They had a snare drum and they had their guitars. And so
their drummer was sitting on a chair with a snare drum, like, in his lap.
Shout out to Bass Amp. Bass Amp was up there playing just the snare drum.
It was a sight.
I let Zach, their frontman, I let him borrow my amp. And then the bass player and the other guitar player, they just ran their stuff through the house PA. Which turned out to be the Elvis impersonator's PA, and they got like 4 or 5 songs in, and the guy just goes up and he starts tearing his gear down. He's just like, I'm done, I'm leaving, I'm taking my gear. And they're just like, what the hell, man? So of course they're pissed off, and they were planning on going back to St. Louis. This apartment we were staying in was huge. There was plenty of room for everybody, and we're just like, y'all can stay upstairs if you want. I'm like, all right. So we proceeded to go get just hammered in Mexico, Missouri that night.
We got kicked out of a bar.
We did get kicked out of a bar.
Mm-hmm. That was my fault, though.
I've done some drinking with Bass Amp. I don't do much drinking, but I did a podcast with Bass Amp and Dano, and of course, you know, if you're going to do that, you might as well celebrate with him. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we did some shots of Worski.
That's what Bass Amp, he's a fun dude.
And it was some Twisted Teas, I think they gave me too. So,
the best part about that gig, though, was we ran into those guys the next day at a McDonald's.
Yeah, on the way out leaving, we hit him again. Yeah, it was so funny.
We just happened to run into him, so we just sat around shooting the shit, talking about all the trouble we got into the night before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At one point, we threw a beer bottle out a 2-story window, and it didn't break.
That's our road tradition.
Yeah.
Because we were in Des Moines. And, you know, there's probably a bit more than alcohol involved, I'm sure. And I'm out.
What are you talking about?
I'm, like, out, like, smoking this cigarette on this...
Third-story balcony in Des Moines.
Yeah, and, like, everything's really close together in downtown Des Moines. Like, you can hear a pin drop downtown. You can hear it through the whole city, man.
And
it's
the weird
so
thing
loud.
About, the weird thing about Des Moines is the town dies at 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. Like, the bars close at 2 a.m., and it's just dead. I mean, there's not a soul around.
So I was, yeah.
It was like 5 o'clock in the morning, we're on this balcony.
Yeah, well, you went to bed.
And then I went to bed.
And I was like smoking a cigarette or something, just, you know, piss drunk, whatever. And I'm like, I'm just hanging out, just finishing a cigarette, about to go to bed. And I don't know what happened. I went to change the song on my phone or something. And I accidentally set my beer bottle down. I don't know why. And it fell off this balcony. Dude, 3 stories of just a beer bottle just shattered in this downtown thing. I'm so glad there was no one. Like,
sounded like a shotgun go off.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it was a gunshot. Inside. It was a gunshot, dude. And I can't believe nothing happened. But I immediately just went back inside, just going to bed. I don't know. I don't know what happened. If they come to the door, I wasn't here. I don't know.
All right.
It was also on that tour that Jake, our buddy Mississippi Jake, shout out to Mississippi Jake. We were staying at his apartment, and we were partying after our gig the night before. And he was like, "Hey, have you guys ever seen Newsies?" And he starts talking up Newsies.
The have Disney you seen Newsies? You need to watch
it. He just starts talking it up to us, and we're like, "All right, we gotta watch this." And so we watched Newsies at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I don't think
it's a musical about paperboys.
I think
gotta sell some babes. Get out there, sell some babes.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I know the name, but yeah, I never actually watched it.
It's good for the soul.
Yeah,
it's a good one. It's a good one.
It's worth it.
Yep.
Especially at 3 o'clock in the morning in Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys do have some shows coming up, and so you can kind of come out and see these guys live. We have here locally every Tuesday, you can see Adam and Hunter Peebles at the Livery Company.
Yep, 9 o'clock.
And that's just you two jamming on?
Just us two, yeah. We usually take turns, and it's usually a good time. It's Tuesday in like South City, so, you know,
yeah.
same old shit, really. It's fun, though. We have a good time.
And every last Saturday of the month, you can catch them at the Canton Inn in Hillsboro, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Hillsboro.
I haven't been up there. But I've kind of built a nice little rapport with them online. They really appreciate me giving them some plugs here, especially on my list of shows in town. Mm-hmm. And they're like, "We're not from St. Louis, but we appreciate you including us on the list." And
yeah, so many great St. Louis bands play.
Yeah, that's what I told them. I was like,
"And Les Gruff."
You support so many of my friends, so I might as well. Right. You know, I'm happy to support you guys. So
they're great people.
Shout out to Andrew and Linda.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's I need to make my way up there one of these days. Come hang out and check it out.
Last Saturday of the month, man.
Yeah, that'd probably be a good one for sure.
Linda's got a big old house, so we all wind up crashing in afterwards most times we play up there.
Yeah. We've got a couple other things. March 22nd, you'll be the heavy anchor with my buddies Bobby Stevens and Andrew Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And is that...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, is that just you guys all 3 solo, or are you bringing...
We're doing solo, and there's some dude out of, like, KC. I can't remember his name. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, dude.
Sorry, KC.
We'll just, like, overdub it, like, some...
Yeah.
I'll just insert his name. I'm like...
Macintosh.
And then that next night, March 23rd, you're playing the Gaslight.
Yep.
You said back there in the lounge area?
We're playing the Warehouse show.
The Warehouse, yeah.
That's going to be the band.
Yeah, that's a cool little setup they got back having
I've
back there.
I've been dying to get in there, you know, so I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, definitely. I haven't been to a show there, but I seen some video the other night with Tonina back there and stuff.
Yeah, she's awesome.
And I know Fighting Side just played in there a bit ago, and so yeah, I mean, I think it's a cool little thing they got happening back there for sure.
I mean, I'll take any excuse to have Zach Gibbons run sound. So can't beat that, really.
You got Jesse sitting on guitar that night because I'm booked elsewhere.
Yeah, Jesse McClary from Old Capitol will be playing lead guitar. So
I'll be at Game 6 Honky Tonk that night with my buddies, the Matt Poss Band. Come check that out.
There you go.
We're a party band. It's a good time.
Yeah. Jesse's, that guy's a nut, man. He cracks me up.
He's great. Yeah. He's the one recording the album.
Yeah? Oh, mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to Jesse.
We did a podcast with Old Capitol for their record release party.
I listened to that one.
And,
it was pretty good.
And Zach's truck and Jesse called
him. Oh, yeah.
The phone. So it was a fun hang.
Yeah.
But yeah, love those guys, man. So much fun. If you don't have that record, check that out.
I have listened to it a couple of times. So it's awesome.
Yeah. But gearing up for the summer, you guys have a you guys are doing a festival this year, the Beestenstock.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And where'd you say that's?
Sisney, Illinois.
Sisney.
It's about an hour and a half ish south of Effingham, Illinois, which is Bible stomping grounds. And a lot of my buddies' bands are gonna be there too. The Bathtub Hooch Band and Taylor Steele and the Love Preachers. And then probably some other bands. They had the Native Sons there last year. I don't know if those guys are going to be back or if there's going to be any other St. Louis bands there, but it's a fun festival.
Yeah.
It's their 15-year anniversary this year, too.
Oh, very cool.
I don't know anything about it, but just go because it sounds cool and we're playing.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. It's a hippie festival.
Yeah. You guys get to do much of that yet in the festival circuit?
We did one last year. We got a couple more lining up this year, but I can't say it yet.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah, we did Turner Fest a couple years ago, right?
We did that last year. Yeah, we'll probably do it again this year. It depends on the turnout with that one. It's a good time, but it's like a nonprofit thing, mm-hmm. So I want to see what's going on with it.
Yeah.
The turnout last year wasn't as big as it was the year before.
It's a nonprofit festival, and we are very much a for-profit band.
I'm a for-profit person. You see my living room here. There's no furniture.
Well, that'd be fun. I mean, especially, like you say, getting some of your buddies just... Mm-hmm. I think that's the best part about those festivals is, like, you just get to see a bunch of your friends you don't always get to see because they're always playing gigs, too. So
absolutely. Especially when you're playing an hour, you get to enjoy everything else. Mm. You know, that's my favorite.
Yep. Yeah, I've been, I remember, I've gone to several of those Lou Fest and stuff, which RIP, I guess, to that. But, it seems like that's a lot of it. It's just people hanging out backstage, getting to see their friends that they don't always get to see. So, check out Beestenstock. I'm sure we'll have more details coming soon on the lineup and all that stuff. So
he hasn't even posted anything about what's going on yet, so I'm sure he'll have a big release. A
little teaser there for you. June 14th and 15th.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We're playing the 15th. We got a Saturday spot. Not sure what time.
But yeah.
I would assume... Well, I'm bringing the whole five piece, so I'm assuming it'll be sometime in the evening.
Yeah, man. Right on.
I'd be remiss if I didn't plug one of my favorite festivals on the planet, the Moxon Creek Festival in Effingham, Illinois, too. We're not playing. I'm playing it with a different band, but I'm probably going to try to talk Adam into coming up and hanging out for a while. But that's a good festival. It's a four-day festival, the solstice weekend every year in June. Come check that out. My buddy Bill Poss throws that one.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, everything else, you can follow Adam Gaffney and the Highway Saints on Facebook and Instagram. Find more dates and information on there. So, I kind of wanted to get into more of that. You said you Jesse's recording the record for you guys right now?
He is. We tried to record a live recording back in September with the band. And actually, it was a killer show. Had an awesome time. But the room we were playing in was a very tough room, especially for recording. We were doing it all analog and live, so it was like we had everything going against us. The turnouts, the only thing that happened was like the mixes were just a little weird because of just circumstantial stuff, you know. It wasn't really anybody's fault. It was just a tough thing to do. But the recordings were kind of cool, and I think I might release like one or two. Eventually, they sound like very. If you've never heard Charles Manson's recordings, they sound very similar to that in a way.
Yeah.
Just the yeah.
You heard it here first. Charles Manson family.
I'll leave it at that. I might release one just for fun. See what happens. But yeah, we'll see down the road.
The performances on those recordings were great. It was just we couldn't get the mix right.
That was one of our best shows.
Yeah.
Feeling shows.
Yeah.
I drove all the way from Austin to play that show.
That was a blast.
Now you guys are doing more of a studio approach?
Yep, now I'm going in. So what I want to do now is, I have this sound with the band that I don't want to lose and I think is awesome. And we're a live band, that's for sure. But I was like, man, a lot of my solo stuff, I don't need a band. So I kind of picked who I wanted. I'm like, okay, well, you guys, this is what I want. I want to go in and track everything. So I'm going to release a solo album. I have 12 to 14 songs I want to put on there. And then I have a band EP that I want to release. Where we're going to just go in a room and record it. So doing that, I think you kind of get both edges of the sword. And I don't know, I think that's a very unique approach. I don't think a lot of people really do that. and I kind of want to cover all the bases.
So the solo is going to be just you and acoustic, or are you still going to have...
I'll be an acoustic. Kendall will be playing lead. Mm-hmm. And then so far...
A little bit of mandolin.
And then so far, I think I have Adam Donald might come in and do some steel, which he told me he would. It's just a matter of getting him in there.
Yeah.
And then...
I think that's the best part about doing a record and getting to that part where when you can call on all your buddies to especially guys like that are like more of a specialty players,
right?
They can kind of come and lay down something cool.
Yeah, it's really cool, man. I'm excited for the turnout, and we're tracking Nomad now, which is a single.
Yeah.
So.
Very cool. Hey, keep an eye out. Hopefully, we'll get that leaked out there soon. Mm-hmm. And start getting all that rolling. But I'd be excited to hear what else we got in store.
Yeah.
It's fun hearing the live demo versions you have online and stuff. They sound great, and it'd be fun to take them to the studio and see what you guys can do with them. But I'm a big fan of your writing, and I'm excited to see what happens with you guys. I know we had some fan questions, and I know
we did.
I know we had a couple wanting to know about the Navy. We kind of got into that a little bit. I don't know if there's more to that than for them. Do we pretty much cover what you want to share about your time in the Navy, or?
I was a. As I can say what I did, I was a bomb loader, basically, for aircraft. I worked, on the flight deck.
Yeah.
And when I deployed, they sent me to this team, which is called, the Carrier Air Group, RMD Arm Team. And so I would work flight schedule, which is beginning of when the first launch of the day would go out until the last recovery. So when that first aircraft went out to the last one touched down, which would be about 16 hours. And so I used to work that shift, maybe 15, and I'd be up there all day for the most part, and then, we'd be arming and de-arming the aircraft as they went off on the catapults, and then they'd land on the LA, and they'd come in, and we'd de-arm them, and they'd park them. And when I was on shore, it was a lot of, maintenance stuff. I did a lot of maintenance on aircraft, too, but my jet that I was really assigned to the majority of the time was the EA-6B Prowler, which my squadron was the last one that had it. They decommissioned it right after I got out. So I missed all the fun stuff. But most of the bomb loading and stuff was F-18s.
Hmm. Yeah.
Debatably cool.
Yeah.
Debatably.
That's some pretty wild stuff, though.
Yeah, it was neat. It was fun.
Obviously, being on the boat, but you get to see some of the world too.
A little bit, yeah. It was very chaperoned, but I got to go to. I spent about 2 years deployed total, probably. We ported in Hong Kong, Dubai. I went there 5 times. I went to Bahrain 2 or 3 times. Chennai, India. Went to Antalya, Turkey, which is probably one of my favorites. And then I went to Athens, Greece, Hawaii, Perth, Australia. And I think that's it for the most part, yeah.
Do you get to, try some of the different foods and stuff?
I tried some, yeah. I didn't, going out, what they call on liberty, so you go out on liberty when you're ported. You don't get to, jump in with the culture, really. You stick out like a sore thumb. You got a buzz cut and look like an idiot, And so, you're on deployment, man. How you look is pretty much the last thing on your mind. And so when I went out there, I didn't bring, a lot of, civilian clothes. I just brought, what I would need to look presentable. And you try to, but you always get stuck with, touristy stuff unless you really go deep into the country, which is kind of a pain to really get out and go see stuff, because if you're if you haven't been in basically 10 years or something, you're not gonna be able to stay overnight, and you gotta check in certain hours. It was just kind of more of a bother than it was worth it. So a lot of my port days were spent drinking in cool places.
Right. Is that a lot of, you think that's a lot of why you grow the hair and the beard out now?
Like probably so. Things? I've been growing the beard out since I got out.
Right.
Yeah, I hate shaving.
Man. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I hate it. Luckily, mine doesn't like grow very much, so it's like, you know, like, it'll take me a while. Like it'll take me forever to get something like mm-hmm. that. Like, but
this is like 2 days.
Yeah.
I took a shower to poof. It's like a chia.
I'm just lazy when it comes to it, though. Like, but yeah, I imagine like when you have to shave every day and keep your hair cut and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I imagine that's like one of the first things is let it all go when you don't have to do it anymore.
Yeah, I was always pushing the boundaries, and I was in a little bit. I grew my sideburns long. I had a mustache for like 3 years, and there were so many like strict regulations on it, but I always kind of like get a little bit more on it. Right. And grow it out a little bit extra just because I like to be a little bit rebellious.
Yeah.
What a rebel.
I got yelled at all the time for that.
Yeah. Matt Close writes in, what beard grooming tools does Adam use? Do you have any
beer hot salami tips? Man from Joya's Deli where I work.
Yeah.
I use zero grooming. I don't even fucking clean it half the time.
I don't groom it. I see some buds growing around.
Probably so, man. There's a family of gnomes living in my beard. I don't use any. I comb it when I wake up.
Yep. Hot salami. That sounds awesome right about now. I pulled that quote the other day that I dropped a clip from Heavyweights when I've been going through this like dieting stuff, so mm-hmm. I was like so a lot of dieting kind of stuff's been on, and then but there's that line in the movie where he's like says lunch has been canceled due to lack of hustle. And so anyway, that stuck with me, and so I shared that clip online, and then somebody else commented a quote, and then I did another one I pulled from that movie was, "Hey new kid, help me get the salami off my back."
That's the movie with Ben Stiller, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tony Perkins, Perk Size.
Yeah. Man, that's a classic.
Oh yeah, I think that character is pretty much what he ended up being in Dodgeball. Like it's like that same character, uh-huh. pretty much. Like
that kind of big bully.
Yeah, yeah. Like he, you know, it's almost like it's pretty much the same guy. Like mm-hmm. he was, you know, all about the fitness and stuff. And then he ends up owning Globo Gym.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's that.
Some pretty silly stuff, though.
It's a funny movie.
Yep. Speaking of Jake, he writes in also, what's the most difficult thing about being as attractive as Adam is, and how did he get so handsome? So,
that's what people want to know. Good genetics. Yeah. Like, the most difficult thing is realizing.
I think we talked about trying to do something when it fell through, but hopefully Mississippi Jake comes back around town and
yeah, man, he'll be here April 15th.
Yeah,
he's a good buddy of mine. Yeah,
he's a good dude.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited to get to officially meet him and hang out. And I want to talk a little bit more about Kendall. Like I said, this is our first time getting to hang. You said you grew up more in the Effingham area?
About 45 minutes northwest of Effingham, in a little town called Payne, Illinois, which is about 45 minutes from where Adam's from. It's 45 minutes from everything, pretty much.
So the town's called 45 minutes.
What's that? What's he saying? Oh, brother, like, is it geographical?
Oh, yeah, it's a geographical oddity. Two weeks from everywhere.
Yeah. That's so funny. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
What so how do you get to St. Louis?
Pretty much just from playing with Adam. I mean, really. I spend more of my time over in the Effingham area. I'm kind of on the couch tour right now, to be honest. Stay with my parents when I got nowhere else to go. But so I spend a lot of time up in the Effingham area. I'm in a couple bands up there as well.
Yeah.
And then I come down here and hang out and hang with Adam and kind of get to know the scene a little bit.
What about your guitar playing? You started pretty young. I mean, did you have parents or somebody or family influencing you? Or
I started. I think I got my first guitar when I was about 9 or 10, and I didn't really take to it. And then about 12 or 13, I got real into AC/DC and just learned a bunch of AC/DC riffs. And so I did that for a while. And then I joined a bar band when I was like 15. So apparently somebody thought I was decent. I don't know. Yeah. Looking back on the videos now, I can't believe anybody thought I was any good back then. But
still doing those AC/DC licks? Or?
Yeah, it was a lot of bar standards, just Sweet Home Alabama, right, and taking care of business and yeah, Johnny Be Good, just that kind of stuff.
Right.
Just minor pentatonic licks all night.
Yeah, that was when you start learning some of the stuff you were playing today.
Oh, man.
Some of those licks.
All that Pete Anderson and Eddie Shaver stuff. I grew up on country music. Excuse me. Yeah, I grew up on country music and like a lot of like the late 80s, early 90s country stuff. It was on in my house, and I didn't really like it when I was a kid. I mean, it's stuck in my head nostalgia-wise. And then my dad got me real into rock and roll music around the time I was 12 or 13. Listened to a lot of like The Offspring and a lot of AC/DC, Metallica. Thin Lizzy was a big band that I was a fan of.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, right? The cowboy song, man.
Yeah.
But I think when I was like 16 or 17, I bought a Cross Canadian Ragweed live record. I had an older stepbrother that was a guitar player. And so when my dad and his mom got together, like I really got into it from watching him. And he was a huge Cross Canadian Ragweed fan.
Yeah, great band.
Yeah, I love Ragweed to this day. And so I bought a live record of theirs. And I was like, whoa, this is like that stuff I grew up on, but it's like it's turned up louder. I was like, it's the rock thing, but it's also the country thing. So I got real into that for a while and got real into that red dirt scene. And then just in the last few years, I've gotten really into just country guitar players, you know, Pete Anderson and Eddie Shaver and an Australian guy by the name of Bill Chambers. I'm a big fan of him. Hung out with him for a few days last year when he was on tour in the States. And I've spent the last few years just trying to be those guys. Norman Blake on the bluegrass side of things.
Yeah.
Doc Watson.
Yeah. Very cool, man. They do Sick and Tired, right? That's one of my favorites. And,
17, Alabama. Yeah.
All right. That's just... I think everybody can kind of relate to that. Like, yeah. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah. Got your bag on your shoulder, never thought once about thinking it over. Feels like you're the only one.
Yeah. That's some really good stuff. Yeah, I haven't heard... thought about them in a while. I need to go do a deep dive on Spotify on the way home, probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great band to do. His new band, Cody Canada, The Departed, is pretty good. It's a lot more rock and roll. These guys are good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it comes through quite a bit, too. Mm-hmm. Plays off Broadway a lot. And, well, very cool, man. Well, it's been a whole lot of fun getting to chat with you guys and
sure, man.
Getting to know a little bit more about what's happening.
Yeah.
Keep your ears out open. We got some new music coming soon. Hopefully real soon we'll get that out there and keep an eye out. Maybe we'll get that some of those records coming. So
yeah, full length solo album. Hopefully by summer. Hopefully, nice. I'm gonna say that, and then it'll be like next year.
Probably.
Yeah. I said that like 3 years ago.
That's the way the music business works.
At least we can put it on the record here, and I can hold you accountable. So
yeah,
you'll probably write a whole new batch of songs between now and then. You'd be like, man, I don't record any of these other songs.
Yeah. Well, that's a good problem to have, though.
Right? Yeah.
I think that's kind of the thing. Like you were talking about, though, like kind of you'd like to have like a kind of a snapshot of what this band and the sound and stuff, and like that's the thing, like. You know, you're always going to want your next... You're always going to be happiest with your newest song.
Absolutely. Like this is... we were just talking about that last night. Yeah.
But, you know, it's good to just get this stuff put out there, and then you can kind of...
It's like a portfolio.
Yeah, kind of retire it for a little while and then come back to it later if you want to or whatever. But, you know, it'd be good to just get them recorded and put them out there.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of on that subject, one of my favorite songwriters is a guy from Raleigh, North Carolina. He tours under the band name American Aquarium, BJ Barham.
Yeah.
And he says every record is just a 2-year snapshot of his life. It's just, it's what every record is. And that's, I've always enjoyed that about their music.
Yeah.
And watch him evolve. And he got sober and had a kid and got married and everything. And then his whole band quit on him. So that's what I've always enjoyed about the recording process, is seeing that kind of thing happen.
Yeah. Well, I think that like guys in comedy are really getting big on that too. Like,
yeah.
I know like obviously George Carlin was kind of the one to kind of make it the standard, you know, they cut a special each year, then they scrap that material and start all over with a new hour and stuff. Yeah. And like, you know, so
Louis C.K. cited as the guy that was kind of the big influence on that particular side of it.
Right.
Yeah, he kind of every year.
Yeah. But, you know, that's kind of I feel like that's pretty, I mean, like obviously you want some of those songs stick around and stuff, but right. you definitely want to keep revolving new material in there and stuff. So
yeah, I wouldn't want to be the Eagles, man, playing like the same hits single tour.
There's a Texas guy named Willis Allen Ramsey that put out one record in the 70s, and it's fantastic, but he hasn't put out a record since then. And so when you go see him live, he's playing the same song he's been playing since the 70s.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, hey, Willis, when's the next record coming out? And he's like, what the fuck's wrong with the first one?
That's the best answer you can have. Yeah.
But there's something to that, though. I mean, if you ever go see the Stones or something, you don't want, you don't want to hear
that's
much
true.
Of your stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you want to hear the hits. And I mean, that's what was cool about, I did get to see Tom Petty.
Yeah.
This is like 10 years ago, whatever it was, something. And Black Crowes opened up. And he did like hit after hit. I mean, obviously every song's a hit pretty much. Like,
yeah.
And then he's like, all right, we're gonna do a couple of new ones, and then like you watch the entire lawn get up and go get a beer mm-hmm. and like
that's such a shame, man.
Well, I mean, but it was almost like that was Tom, like what Tom was like giving you the wink,
go get a beer now.
Yeah, here's your chance to like go take a leak, because then we're gonna rock it out the rest of the night. And
right.
So I don't know. That's the way I interpret it.
I guess maybe it's different at that level.
Yeah. When you're gonna go ahead and say, introduce it that way, we're gonna play some new ones. Like if you would have just played it, like nobody would have. But like it was like the cue to like, all right, go grab a beer, take a leak, and come back, and we're gonna rock out the rest of the night. And
then you got like the 30% of the audience that are just diehard Petty fans that are just like hanging on every word he says.
Mm-hmm. It's like now, wait, say it's like I have an original song coming up in some places. People just will turn around.
Yeah,
it's so weird.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah, I've noticed like that too. Like when people. You know, if they're doing covers and then they just say, hey, this next one's an original or whatever it is. Like, sometimes I think, like, you just play it. Like, don't even say it. And then, like, and if people walk up, like, hey, who was that? Like, oh, that was mine. Mm-hmm. That was one of mine.
And it was a song by Three Dog Night.
Yeah.
You like it.
Right, yeah. Right.
Well, that was an old Aerosmith tune or something.
Yeah. I don't know, man. People listen to music differently, I feel like, now, as they want to hear things they're familiar with. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's some people that have a twang. They're like, I'm not country. I'm like, well, I know, but you sound like you are.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the biggest downfall in the music as a consumer, is it's, like, here it is. You have to, like, take it for what it's worth. You can't expect something out of it. You have to just accept it.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing is being an artist that's known for what kind of covers he plays as opposed to what originals he plays. Mm-hmm. And that's the weirdest thing, it's... I get all the time, like, oh, he sounds like Neil Young. Well, I guess he sounds similar to what I do. He just plays very easy stuff for me to play, to be honest with you. And, it rubs off on my originals, but I wouldn't say that in any way am I reciprocating that,
Well, and I feel like part of that probably, too, is just your voice tone. Like,
right, for sure.
So,
yeah. And harmonica,
right.
There's,
but that's the thing, like, same can be said for a lot of guys that, you sound like Dylan because you play harmonica or whatever. It's like, but obviously if you're getting compared to those guys, like you must be doing something right.
Yeah, there's that side of it too, I mean, there's no more originality anymore, I feel like.
Sure.
Yeah.
A lot of it's been taken up.
Everything I'm ever going to write is going to sound like something Steve Earle should have wrote, a shitty Steve Earle outtake anyway.
Shitty Steve Earle.
Can't help it, man. I've listened to every Steve Earle record at least 100 times.
Yeah. That guy's pretty good too.
Borderline obsessed with Steve Earle. I'm obsessed up to the point that I haven't started shooting heroin. I'm not going to go that far with my Steve Earle obsession, but
he did
go to prison for 60 days for getting busted with heroin and a weapon. I'm not going to do that.
He did say something. It was a great quote from him a bit ago about how country music today, like Florida Georgia Line, is like hip hop for white kids that are afraid of black people and stuff like that. And I was like, man, that's so true. Like, there's so many,
because
so much of that is just all it is pop rap music stuff.
Garbage, man.
Yeah. I heard him say that on a podcast way back in 2014, and he like kind of said it under his breath, like he didn't want to say it, but he's like, that's kind of what Steve Earle does, though.
Sure.
He's just so controversial that he's just gonna say shit to piss people off.
Yeah.
Just to get attention, more or less.
Yeah, that's my goal, to get to that point where I just don't give a shit and don't care about what happens. That'd be nice, get to that level.
Yeah,
just be a musician.
Yeah.
I've read a lot of Steve Earle interviews, and like when he's doing press rounds, he pretty much like he's got like bits, like a comedian, he's got bits that he hits in every interview, and the most recent one is like he just got divorced a couple years ago, and his wife left him, and she wound up hooking up with Hayes Carl, who's another great songwriter. But he says, my wife left me for a skinnier, better looking, less talented version of me.
Shots fired.
Yeah. Yeah. Hayes is just so stoned all the time, he didn't give a shit. He's like, right on, man, cool.
Yep. That he's got some great songs too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Big Hayes Carl fan.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. Well, thank you guys again for doing this. Been a ton of fun. And again, get involved. Spotify, iTunes. You can find the music there. You can follow along on Facebook and Instagram. Yeah. We'll come on out to a live show.
Yeah.
Adam Gaffney with two F's.
Gaffney.
Now no one's going to find it because they're going to hear that. I don't know how many times I've had my name misspelled with like R's and O's and all kinds of dumb shit. Like,
Gaffroni.
I'm talking to you with an email address that has my name in it.
Yeah.
Dude, people have been spelling my name wrong for 24 years, so I feel your pain.
My buddy, Joshua Powell, he's got a band, Joshua Powell and the Great Train Robbery. And he said, you know, he's seen it butchered every different way on marquees and stuff, whenever, like, you know, just... So I think he just goes by Joshua Powell now. Like,
the Grave Train Robbery.
Yeah, like...
Sometimes I think my name's Live Music. My name hasn't been on a band board. Or a sandwich special.
The Highway Taints.
Yeah. Yeah, there's that one, too. That's my favorite.
We got some buddies up in Effingham, the Bathtub Hooch Band, and we were talking about doing a split bill. They're going to be the Back Rub Gooch Hand, and we're going to be the Highway Taints.
Yeah, man. Now we're talking. I'd go to that show.
I mean, I'd spend money on that.
I'd go to that show just with a marquee like that. I'd be like, I got to go see what this is all about.
I want a t-shirt.
All right, guys. Let's get out of here.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having us, man.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.